Now, this is a good book because it gives you the history of buying and selling and trading and things like this. And he shows it started out with bartering. Then it was too much to carry around all the stuff to barter. So they went to metal coins, gold and silver and copper. Now, even someplace down in the South Pacific Islands, they still use rocks, round rocks with holes in them. And the size of the rock equals whatever the denomination of the currency would be. Then that became too difficult because people were, you know, carried around, robbery, you have to have a bank. You know, all of the old Western pictures show what? Robbing the stagecoach of its silver and gold money. Mm-hmm. See? So they said, okay, paper money. So then they have all these banks, and they first started out saying that, you know, this currency certificate is worth so many ounces of gold, and they used to have that with the United States currency even through to 1934. So then paper money worked pretty good, but then you can steal that too. You know, think about a payroll for a big company, a manufacturing company of 1,000 employees, and every week they get $200. You've got to have $200,000 cash. So you have to have a little bureau within your business there where you have cash counters, and they put it in the envelope and put the name of the person on it, and then come on Friday, you pass out the envelope with the money in it. That's how they actually did it at Ambassador College when I first started there in 1961. Okay. Now, paper checks. Hey, that's a good deal. Write your own money. You don't have to carry it around with you. You can write what you need. The store takes it. Everything's just fine. Well, Dolores went into Knob Hill, the local grocery store over here, and normally she writes a check, and they take it and process it through and put it in a cash register. Mm-hmm. Well, she wrote out the check, and he puts it in a reader and hands it back to her. She says, well, what's this? Yeah. She said, well, the transaction has already taken place. You can do what you want with the check. Yeah. All right? So then it went to electronic transactions with credit cards. Now, all of us have credit cards of one kind or another, right? Yes. Then they came out with debit cards. Then they came out with swipe cards. You know what a swipe card is, don't you? Mm-hmm. You put it on your keychain, and you have just a little barcode on there, and you go, whoosh. You don't have to have a purse. Of course, that can be stolen, you know, a swipe card. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. That could go pretty fast. All right. So then it went from, he says here, evolution of money from barter to barcodes. And he's leading up to something very important. This is why, yes, he doesn't say the mark of the beast here, but this is why they're having the meetings in Toronto, later South Korea. They're going to get the whole banking system uniform worldwide. For what purpose? No, not the chip yet. No, you can't bring that on yet. No. Okay. A global currency. Now, in the book, The World Currency, he said the biggest problem was the disparity of wages around the world. And the biggest problem with money from different countries was the exchange rate. And that could be manipulated. And that's how Rothschild took over the Bank of England. He manipulated the money and the stock market. He told everyone Britain's losing one day, stood there, and he was hailed as a savior, and he bought everything at pennies on the dollar or shillings on the pound, however you would want to say it for England. But he knew, because he had carrier pigeons send a message to him that the British were winning. And the next day, the news came. And everyone said, oh, thank you for rescuing us. Well, he made money going down. And then everyone wanted to buy their stock back, so he sold it back to them higher and higher and higher and higher prices. So he made money coming and going. That's how the money changers make the money. Now, there is coming a world currency. How do they bring it in? How do they bring it in? Start uniform rules for banks. Then what happens? What happened? What have we been talking about all this time? Debt. Debt. Debt bubble. Okay? They're going to call it, he calls it the IMU or the IMU. International Monetary Unit. Isn't that wonderful? Okay? Now he gives a history of how all of these things took place here. All right. Now, let me tell you how he says it's going to happen. Short-term pain, bubble quakes, and aftershock. In the bubble quake in late 2008, the stock market fell dramatically and major banking institutions collapsed. In all, four big bubbles started to pop. Real estate, stock, private debt, discretionary spending. Next, in the aftershock, these bubbles will fall further, and two more bubbles will burst. Dollar bubble and the U.S. government debt bubble. Now, after that, there will be the euro bubble. There will be the yen bubble. There will be the yuan bubble. Because he says it's going to get worse in the other countries when United States collapses. It will collapse monetarily. You cannot stop it. The debt is too heavy. It is too unbelievable. There is no way that you can pay this back under any circumstances. We have been boxed into a corner, as all nations of the world have been boxed into a corner, and when they agree on this G20, look for not too long a period after that, that they are going to let everything collapse everywhere. Now, page 185. The next step in the evolution of money, and he uses science, technology, economy, and politics, going all the way from bartering down to electronic transfers. The next step in the evolution of money will be the development of an international agency. They already have it. What is it called? Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank. Did you know that in Basel, Switzerland, where the Bank for International Settlements is located, is an independent sovereign nation within Switzerland, has its own laws, its own police force? No one can touch it. No court. No law. Sound a little bit like the Vatican, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, there's another place similar to it. It's called London. The 1 square mile in the middle of London. That isn't owned by the British government. That's owned by the bankers. Now, I don't know what they have in Washington, D.C., but I would tend to think they have something very similar to it. The next step in the evolution of money will be the development of an international agency, the global equivalent of an international central bank. Now, what have I preached for years? That's coming, right? Yes, indeed. That bank will manage a single international currency that is entirely electronic. Now, that's not quite the mark of the beast yet. A lot of people get, you know, remember when I gave the sermon when they first came out with the digital angel, I said the mark of the beast is here? Yes, that's what they were planning. But they had some problems with it. Once they injected it into the arm or any place in the body, it migrated. And another problem they had long term was it caused cancer. So they have to figure something out. But it's coming. Now, we'll read the scriptures in just a minute. See, there has to be the political power and political will, and there has to be the economic power and economic will run by the elite of the world. They're the ones making everything go the way it's going today. Now, Dr. John Coleman in Carson City, Nevada, calls it the Committee of 300. Okay? Entirely electronic. Is it wrong to have electronic currency? No. You have a credit card? That's electronic currency. You do banking with your computer over the internet? That's electronic currency. Is it wrong to have automatic deposit of your money in your banking account from the company you work for? No, that's not the mark of the beast. How about if they do an identification on the iris of the eye? Is that the mark of the beast? No, that's your eye. Unless your eye's a beast, I guess, you know. Okay. How about a fingerprint? Is that the mark of the beast? No, that's a fingerprint. We'll look and see what the mark of the beast is, okay? Continuing on, he says, we are not saying that this will come quickly or easily, but eventually it will come. In time, old-fashioned cash strapped under the mattress will become as useless as a manual typewriter, except when there's no electricity. Why a single international currency? Because it will be necessary to avoid repeating the pain of another global bubble quake. A single international currency will eliminate the problems with foreign exchange. There will be no balance of payments problems. It's like in the United States. Free trade in the United States using a single currency, it doesn't matter how much California sells, there's no balance of payments with any other state, or likewise, how much people buy and sell. So they'll eliminate that. I wonder what George Soros is going to do. You know, that's how he made his money. And the currency exchange, making currency bubbles, like our current dollar bubble, see? Now, you go on and you read the value of the yen compared to the dollar, compared to the pound, compared to the Deutschmark, compared to the Chinese yuan, okay? And they all have different values. I think the value of yen is somewhere right around now, about 91, 92, somewhere there, okay? The euro used to be 146 until the latest thing. Now it's 122 in relationship to the dollar. Okay? The Australian dollar is worth 90 cents to the dollar. The Canadian dollar is about worth 94 cents to the dollar now. Higher? 97? Par? 104. Okay? You know which banking system wasn't affected by this meltdown? One banking system in the world, Canada. So they're making many of the regulations similar to Canada. Where is the G20 meeting today while we're speaking?
Canada.
In Toronto, Canada. Yes. Okay. It will also block us from spending our way into huge foreign trade balances like our current international trade deficit bubble. And because a single international currency is the most technologically and economically efficient form of money at this stage of our societal evolution, it eventually becomes the best option. Now, when all the banks go under and all the money markets go down at the same time, now what are you going to do to the labor force? You're going to equalize wages around the world. Everybody's out of work. Will nations resist it every inch of the way? Absolutely. For a while. But eventually they will come around for the same reasons that evolution always occurs, because it beats the alternative. In the long view, the global economy requires a global currency. Why an electronic currency? I don't think they will be able to go straight to an electronic currency. I think they will have to issue the real thing for a while, and maybe have checks for a while. Okay? Because money, like every other human technology since the Stone Age, evolves through time following the principles of material substitution and energy substitution, which we explain in more detail on our website. Okay? Hard to believe? Actually, we are already almost there. A likely scenario on how an international currency will evolve or come about. The natural solution to the bubble quake and aftershock will feel as unnatural to many Americans as giving up baseball, but sooner or later, major social and political changes, even a single global currency operated by a central administrative agency, are in the cards for us. After the temporary global mega depression, the international electronic currency operated by a central administrative agency will eliminate foreign exchange problems. We don't know what this new currency will be named, but for convenience, we will call it IMU, short for International Monetary Unit. At first, the IMU will simply be a merger of the euro, dollar, and yen. Other strong democracies such as Canada, Australia will then join. Then use of the IMU spreads around the globe, since a country does not have to be a member of a governing group in order to use IMU. IMU will be far cheaper for society to administer than cash. There will be no expensive bills to print or coins to mint. There will be no cash to steal. IMUs will be inflation-free because the system that controls the supply of IMUs will be set up to avoid it. For more information on IMUs and its adoption, see aftershockeconomy.com. IMU. Tell you more about it. It's already planned. There it is. Okay? Well, I don't need to read any more out of this book. Let's come to Revelation 13. Now, as we come to Revelation 13, let me state something that's really important to understand, which is this. Until this electronic age that we are in with the last 20 years, no Bible scholar could have a clue as to what the mark of the beast would be. You couldn't tell them, well, we're going to have electronic stuff. What's electricity? Well, you won't have to carry any coins. You'll be able to carry a plastic card. What's plastic? All right. Now, first, you must have the political system. Now, what was the favorite thing that Rothschild used to say? Let me control the money, and I don't care who runs the government. But he did, and put in the people he wanted. Okay? Now, once you get this system set up, see, they can't tell you right at first, oh, we're going to do this, oh, we're here planning for an international bank. No. They're saying what we're doing is getting all the regulations of the banks coordinated, so we can avoid the financial pain that we've had. Don't you think that's a good idea? Wouldn't you like that? So you don't become unemployed and your money is not just disappearing, or as they say in the book, gone to money heaven? Hey, that's been in the Proverbs long before he wrote the book. Fly away to heaven. Okay? Now, this system is going to have to look like it comes from the people. So let's begin, verse 1, Revelation 13. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now we know from the book of Daniel that a beast equals a kingdom. Plus, the king is also synonymous with the kingdom. Talks about Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar represents the kingdom, but all of the people in the empire are part of that kingdom. So this beast, rising up out of the sea, which we know from Revelation 17 are peoples, nations, languages, and so forth, okay, having seven heads and ten horns. Now these are leaders of a system. And I've said for years that it's going to be a worldwide system with regions of the world. Now, there was a plan for America. I don't know whether they're going to get it through or not. Maybe with the things they're doing now and the way the economy is, they won't have to do it, which was follow the pattern of Europe, bring all the nations together, merge them with a common currency called the euro, and then you can eliminate the borders. So they wanted to have Canada, United States, and Mexico all merged together in one political setup. And then they said we would have the Amero. And even someone sent me a silver-minted proposed Amero dollar. Well, with the euro going the way that it is, and even the threat of Germany withdrawing out of the European Economic Union, at least the monetary union, I don't think it will, because Germany conquered Europe through the European Union. Okay? But look at it. You can't say, let's follow this pattern over here. Because the euro is about ready to fall apart just like the dollar. See, the key in the whole thing is this. All the major currencies must collapse simultaneously. Now, how do you get them to do that? Get them in debt. So much they can't pay it. That's why Greece was so important. There's Spain, there's Portugal, there's Ireland, there's France. Did you know that in Greece they retire at 53? And did you know in France they retire at 55? And Sarkozy had a proposal out, well, we're going to raise the retirement age to 60. Riots in the street for one day. See, the whole economic system has to collapse in order to make people accept it. So here's the system that's going to come out of it. Okay? Seven heads and ten horns, and on the ten horns, ten crowns. On his horns, ten crowns, and on his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Now, what it's doing, it's combining the beast from Daniel, the seventh chapter. And this is combining the substance of the past empires of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And of course, all of us come out of that system, don't we? What do our state houses look like? Our capital look like? What does the Supreme Court look like? Looks like it came from Greece and Rome. Yes. See? Rome is the system. Combined with all the others. You've got to get the others. Was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, who is what? Satan, the devil, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Hold your place here and turn back to Matthew. Actually, Luke, the fourth chapter. Let's go to Luke. Luke has a good account there. Luke, the fourth chapter. See, when men leave God, they put themselves under the authority of Satan, the devil. Just that simple. People think, well, I'm still a free moral agency. Oh, yeah, Satan will let you think you're still a free moral agency, you know, all this sort of stuff. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 5 after. No, let's read verse 4. But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's how we're to live our lives, see. Then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now that includes the one that is prophesied in Revelation 13. Notice what he told him. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this authority and the glory of them all, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I desire. Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence, all things shall be yours." And that means to worship him as God. Now, what does this tell us? What does this tell us? Who controls the super elite, the super rich of the world? Satan, okay? So this is an amalgamation of all of that. And isn't it interesting that the G20 represents all of these countries? Verse 3, here's the resistance that comes. There's going to be resistance. "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death. But his deadly wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast." Okay, now it goes from the government system into the leader of it. Remember, he said, yes, there's going to be resistance. Yeah, plenty of resistance. Until when? Until you can't buy anything. Until you have run out of food. And you have no more gasoline. And none of your credit cards work. And your money is obsolete. Maybe you can last a little longer if you have some gold and silver. But sooner or later, the world will accept the IMU. Okay? It's just going to happen. And what I picture is this. After they accept it and get it working and see how good it works, see, Satan is going to give them a benefit right up front. There's going to be re-employment, production, factories going, homes building, people prospering. What's going to be said? Look how good this is. No balance of payment problem. Isn't that wonderful? And all the nations that have been dealing with us, they have to buy our bonds in order to have U.S. dollars to buy goods from us. See? Okay. So there's the resistance. He receives a deadly wound, but he was healed. And they worship the dragon. Now, when you understand about all world religions, they all worship Satan. What does it say of Satan there? In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, he's the god of this world, who gave his authority to the beast. Now, what was the authority that we read of back in Luke 4? All the nations, he said, all this authority has been given to me. So what does he do? He transfers that authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him?" So there's going to be some kind of treaty to go along with it that is going to do something with all of the nuclear weapons. And now that you have an international currency and you cannot trade in any other way, you can choke off any nation anytime you want to. So all they have to do to bring every nation in line, say like North Korea, cut off everything. No trade, no money, no nothing. And pretty soon they'll come hat in hand, won't they? And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months, that is after the deadly wound was healed. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. So there's going to be a martyrdom of saints. Why? because we will not take the mark of the beast. That's why. Because it's going to be designed in such a way, as I explained in the sermons, controlling the human mind, that they will be able to control people electronically from satellites. If you don't believe that, watch the movie Enemy of the State. Now notice, second part of verse 7, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. A world government that's going to come through the establishment of a world monetary system. That's how it's going to come about. It's not going to come through Europe in the system that they had of regionalizing and so forth. Now, I'm sure they will still have trading regions, but they're not going to try and bring in four or five extra currencies and then gradually get it to a world currency, as they had discussed many times in the past. That is obsolete. Question one, those who dwell in heaven, who dwells in heaven? God the Father, Jesus Christ, the angels? Yes. And hasn't Satan always done that? Yes. So he's going to be a worldwide dictator. But you see, they can't bring it in politically. You're not going to bring it in by election, are you? How are the nations going to vote for someone they don't know, haven't even heard of? But if you have the international agencies there, and if you have the monetary system all controlled, and if you have the political system all controlled, then it's very easy to do. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears, let him hear. In other words, understand this. All right, come down here to verse 11. I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now he's going to be the partner, the spiritual partner of the beast who is the political power. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. You wait and see. There is going to be a revival of a unified religion in this world, accompanied by miracles. And this false prophet is going to be able to carry out those miracles, and people will believe. And he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This is our Messiah. This is God manifested in the flesh. And he performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. It's going to be the real thing. Some people say, well, is it going to be a hologram from satellites out in space? Going to be the real thing. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast which had the wound by the sword yet lived. Well, they can make many images. How about T-shirt manufacturing? Viva la Presidente, or whatever language it is in, All hail the beast. You make an image. No idolatry is involved. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast could also speak, and he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So there's the martyrdom starting. Going to have to worship him first. Now, then they have to have total control of the rest of the population. That's when the mark of the beast comes in. Now, we talked about the chips. Maybe they can design it so it'll work. As of right now, that technology is somewhere off. They have another method of putting it on the hand or on the forehead, which is still in it, which is very similar to a tattoo, and use the same kind of chemicals that will be responsive to electronic control from satellite. That's what they're working on. They don't have that perfected yet. But imagine if it gets down to you just tattoo the hand, say, well, look, that doesn't hurt. And right at first, it's going to be all be voluntary. You know, just like people today. There are some people who have actually had the chip put in their hand or in their arm, and they go to this hotel, and they chip them, and everything is charged to it. They go to the dining room, and boop, it's charged to their room. They go to the casino, and every bet they make, boop, 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 boop. Everything that they receive comes back into the chip, and it's all recorded right there at the front desk. You know, and you've seen this ad many times. Man goes into the grocery store, and he's dressed up as a thief, and he's stealing all of these things. And he's got this card all loaded up, and the stuff is sticking out of his coat and out of his pants and everything like that. And, you know, he's got this I'm sneaking out of the door look. And the clerk comes up and says, thank you, Mr. Jones. Here's your receipt. Because it was all electronically recorded. See? So in order to receive the mark of the beast, you must commit idolatry. You must worship the beast. And he causes, now this is the beast's political power, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the Greek or there is the equivalent of and. Okay? Now that is a world numbering system. And as I've said in the past, in order for the mark of the beast to come in, you must have a world numbering system. Well, what about my Social Security card? No, that won't work. Well, what about my Visa card? No, that won't work, even though that works worldwide. There has to be a world numbering system from a central banking authority. And that's what they're working on developing right now. So, what does the future hold for us? Economically, we can look for probably a severe recession, if not depression. People don't like to hear that, but it's going to come. I encourage you to get this book, Aftershock. Let me give you the ISBN number so you can get your own copy. Okay? ISBN number. You can get it on Amazon.com. Here it is. ISBN 978-0-470-48156-1. Once again, 978-0-470-48156-1. The author is, there are actually three authors, David Wiedenmeyer, Robert Wiedenmeyer, and Cindy Spitzer. Aftershock, protect yourself and profit in the next global financial meltdown. So I think combined with what I did up north, these two messages will profit everyone a great deal in understanding what's going to happen in the near future. So keep your eyes on the G20, on the G8, keep it on the economy, and don't know what's going to happen in the Gulf. We had Bonnie Orswell. Now she does transcripts for us, and she sent an email to us because she lives in Alabama near Gulf Shores. So she wanted to take a break, so she drove down to Gulf Shores right along the beach there to eat her lunch. And she had the windows down, the breeze was rolling in. Pretty soon she began to taste the oil. Mm-hmm. on her lips and smell it. And there's hardly any oil in Gulf Shores. It's all evaporating and coming in. What's it going to do to the environment down there? Don't know. I've got to call Glenn Daniel and find out what's happening down there. He lives in Pensacola. Now, we don't know how much some of these things are going to really be a long-term disaster, short-term disaster, how much sickness it may cause, how much unemployment it will cause. But if you want the forces to bring the United States down almost flat to the ground, many of the forces are already there working full time to do it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.